To Mizmor Lamed Beis 32, Leif. Leif, page 274. Okay, we're here at 276. At the Pasuk Gimel. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaroi.
Amen.
Ki hecharashti balu atzomoi bishagosi kol hayoim. Ki hecharashti, let us see the mitzudos David. Ki hecharashti, the al shagodol kol kach koyachat teshuva lezek hasher hecharashti the amri b'shtikol lezvoinim b'maasai. Again, page 276 in the mitzudos David. The word hecharashti means a cheresh. A cheresh means a deaf mute. And we learn, as we learned, I think last week, the word hecharashti sometimes, even though literally we usually assume that the word cheresh primarily focuses on the koich of shemia, that a person is not able to hear, but very often the word cheresh, the thrust of the word cheresh is on the inability to speak, or a person chooses to behave like a deaf mute, not to speak. Okay, it's very, very common. It's a very big topic. Remember one year we used to go to these shiurim, Mitzoy Shabbos, which pretty much have been discontinued to a degree because of COVID. Ever since COVID came, the whole thing came apart. It was a very fascinating shiur. One of the rashivas gave a shiur on the sugya of a cheresh. And he went through the whole shas. He went through all different examples in shas. The term cheresh, how it's used in the Gemara, and it's a very complicated word, the word cheresh. Cheresh simply means person cannot hear. But more often than not, cheresh means a person cannot speak. The koich adibur. And it's interesting, we have a word ilay. Ilay means the person cannot speak. So why did Chazal decide to use the cheresh instead of the word ilay? In any event, according to the Mitzvah Stavah, that's the focus over here. Ki hecharashti, I was silent. I did not speak. It's an unusual usage of the word. One more time in the Mitzvah David. Ki v'al shagodol kol kach klecha teshuva. The power of repentance is so great. That's the previous. That's what it said in the previous possibility yesterday. We said that the person ashrei is the person who does teshuva for the pesha, for the oven, for the chait, and he does it without remia. He does teshuva with sincerity. And ki hecharashti lezek asher hecharashti v'yamadeti bish sika. When I contemplated, when I stood in silence.
Think of the Megillah.
In hacharesh tacharishi bo es hazos. Excellent. Revach v'hatzol yamo la yudu b'mokoy macher. Mordechai said to Esther, if in hacharesh tacharishi, what does that mean? If you'll be silent, right. If you're not going to speak up, you have to be eshtadlon, like Rav Mechol. Rav Mechol is a believer in shtadlonus. You have to be an activist. You can't just sit back and do nothing. I always remember this story. There was a fellow in my father's shul. Passed away. He wasn't a youngster, and I remember my father was maspid. I went to the levaya. He was a popular person in the shul, and he was an activist. He believed in something. He went out. He made noise. He made noise in the community. He made noise in government. There's something to it. Okay, some people, many people, they just leave me alone. Don't bother me. Just do whatever you want, and you just, you know, nechva bein akelim. Mordechai told Esther, it's an incredible thing. No, you abducted, you were captured, you're now in the palace. No. You have to be an activist. In hacharesh tacharishi bo'es hazos, if you're going to be silent, then you're going to be finished. And that's how the word is used, more often than not. And David over here says, I stood bish sikol hisponin b'ma'asai to contemplate my deeds. Also, yisi doyeg al avoinoisai. When I was contemplating, okay, I was quiet and thinking. Bolu atzomoi, I was overcome with pachad regarding my sins, and my bones became worn out. Also, yisi doyeg al avoinoisai. At shabolu atzomoi, v'asachti b'shagosi kol hayoyim, and then I roared. It was the calm before the storm. I was contemplating. I realized how my averos, what I've done wrong, and I had agmas nefesh to the degree where my bones became brittle, they became worn out, and then Bishagosi. Then I had a transformation. Look at the Mitzudas David. He injects a word that does not say in the pasuk, and this is a bold, bold statement by the Mitzudas David. Ve'osati b'sha'agosi kol hayom. There was then a transformation, and I roared like a lion the entire day to Hashem in prayer to forgive me for my sins. Okay, so we'll read the pasuk again one more time. Ki hecherashti. When I contemplated, I was quiet, and I reflected upon what I have done. I was overwhelmed with agmas nefesh. And the agmas nefesh is described here in the two words, bolu atzomoy. My bones became withered. And then, what was the consequence of this? Bishagosi, I had a transformation, and I decided I have to do something about this. And I cried out to Hashem, Kol hayoyim. Rashi, pasuk gimel, ki echarashti, kasher echarashti, misradois al pishrai lefonecha. When I was quiet. Now, it seems that over here that he's saying something a little bit different. When I held back, milahisradois al pishrai lefonecha, balu atzomoy, meroiv anchois da'agoisai, kol hayoyim. My bones became worn out from my agmas nefesh, my worries the entire day. Shehoyisi doyeg mibnei ha'pur onus. I was terrified of the punishment that would come upon me. So I guess Rashi doesn't spell it out the way the Mitzudas David does, and I don't think I think it would be a little bit stuck to really understand what Rashi is saying. I don't think you just read like kasher hecherashti. I was quiet from confessing before you. It doesn't make sense. When I made, if you read Rashi literally, it means I made a deliberate decision that I will not do teshuva. I made a decision to be silent. I did nothing wrong and I was quiet. Then my bones became worn out because of the agmas nefesh, because I'm going to be punished. But it doesn't flow. It doesn't make sense. Therefore, the Mitzudas David, he really puts a spin on it. And I think he's explaining Rashi to a degree. When it says ki hecherashti, it doesn't mean I was just quiet as an act of rebellion. I was quiet here in this context means I reflected. There's something to reflecting. There's something to having the ability just to sit back and think about life. We told this story many times. Rav Chutner, I told you this story many times, Rav Chutner, when he would see a bachur on the bus, I once he told his advice, he went on the bus. Could you imagine those days? People went on buses, okay? They went on buses, they were traveling, and he saw a boy on the bus, and he was sitting there with a Gemara, and he was shuckling, and he was learning Daf Gemara on the bus. So he told him, what are you doing? You're sitting with a Gemara on the bus, you're shuckling. You have nothing to think about? There are times in life where the avoda is to think. Reflect. You're traveling, you're going somewhere. Okay, it's a very nice thing. You know, you take a safer, you learn a safer, you know, the daily show. But there's also a time in life where you just need to stop and think. Think about life. What's going on? And David over here says that there were times that, like you know, this sounds like a chassidisha Torah, the Bar Dishava. The Bar Dishava, you go into his boydidus, very popular technique by Chassidim, to go out into the forest, breast all the Chassidim, this is a technique, you go out into the forest, and you just sit down and think. No one's bothering you, no smartphone, no nothing, just sit and think about life. Yeah, you know, I told this vendors, I used to go to Shiurim years ago, and many of the Shiurim, I didn't understand a word. Literally did not understand one word what the Rebbe said. I don't know, they talk a different language, just doesn't penetrate my head. But I had no choice, because if you don't go to the shir, they can give you a hard time in yeshiva. No, so it's like, you know, you gotta pay rent. So you go to the shir, you sit in the shir, you just space out, and you make believe you understand nothing. And I always would say, I cannot wait until Pesach, until next year, when I don't have to do this anymore. I'll be a free bird. I won't have to go to the shir, and I can just spend the time learning myself. And finally the time came, and I found myself much more unhappy and more confused. And I realized, and this is absolutely true, that every day when I went to that shir, I didn't listen to the shir because I did not understand one word, but it was my daily session of meditation. It was a time, I can't go sit by the shir and open up a sefer and learn from the Rebbe would kill me. So I just sat there and I thought about things. I thought about what I want to do, this, all the different things I needed to take care of. And it gave me a time every day to think. And when that shir came to an end and the whole day is just, you just run, it just from one activity to the next activity, and you literally don't have time to think about life, it's not so good. It's a healthy thing to have that time where you just think. What? You disagree?
I don't disagree. I don't know enough to disagree.
You know plenty to disagree. You disagree, say you disagree. I want to hear someone disagree. I want to hear some action. What?
I don't know if people are trained.
So you got to train?
Train yourself.
You get depressed.
Right, the best thinking, the best times you can have is a long drive with nothing going on, and the day goes off, and or if I go for a bicycle ride, the 10 miles, whatever, you think.
Right.
What are you doing? Think.
You think about life.
I don't know what you mean, you're thinking.
And some of those.
I don't know what I'm thinking about either,
exactly.
But I'm thinking.
That's right. I
you think you think. You think.
I'm not sure I really understand
when we say this idea of thinking.
You're not coming up with great.
Unfortunately, there are many.
But you're thinking about.
I disagree with what you're saying. I'm not understanding.
No. Unfortunately, there are people who are very busy. They're so busy every second of the day. They don't have time to go to the bathroom. And they just run from one activity to the next activity. And then all of a sudden, they wake up a month later. A whole month passed? How did that happen? What have I accomplished? Where am I? How could it be a whole month passed?
So the thinking is the accomplishment.
The thinking puts the brakes on. The thinking, taking moments to pause and think, to make a cheshbon hanefesh.
Right.
What's the purpose of this world?
Reflect on them, we're going to all run the other way.
Well,
we're not trained to make a cheshbon hanefesh.
Well, we have to train ourselves.
We
go for therapy. You go to a therapist. What do therapists do most of the time?
Most of them have mistakes.
They bill. They charge you money. David over here says the word hecharashti, the mitzudos David is translating what? I don't think so, because how else do you learn Rashi?
Rashi's hecharashti was I was silent, I was not doing my video. Versus the mitzudos David says
reflection.
There's boning the masa.
According to the mitzudos David, the word hecharashti means reflection.
Mitzudos.
Rashi is extremely vague. And I'm suggesting, if you read Rashi literally, you can. What does it mean, Achrashi? I made a conscious decision to not to die, not to do teshuva, not to do my duties, not to do. Kasher when hecharashti, I was silent.
Milhisvados. Not necessarily voluntarily or involuntarily. I was silent.
Okay, I was silent.
Maybe wasted my time.
I wasted my time. Okay.
And I was silent. No one's liable.
So you want to say that's not reflection. Is that when I did not optimize? I did not take advantage of the opportunity to do teshuva properly. I only got worse. My condition got much, much worse. All from
lack.
No lack of thinking.
Lack.
From a lack of thinking.
Why was a lack of thinking?
But he didn't.
Who's the time? Kasher hecherashi. I made a decision. I was during the time that I did not engage in confession. I said not today, tomorrow, the next day. I'm busy today. When I was silent from milhisvada, so I allowed the guilt of my averos to remain and to build and to become a burden. So it destroyed me. A person has a need to unburden himself. How do you unburden yourself of your guilt? You confess. You know, you see people who have committed crimes 50 years ago. At the end of their life, they walk into the police station and they say, I want to confess, I killed someone. 50 years ago, I murdered someone. And it's just been eating away at me my whole life. You got away with it for 50 years. What do you care now? What do you care now? How much more time you got? What do you care now? Obviously, guilt. Guilt is an incredible burden. It's an incredible burden and it weighs you down. Bolu at somoi. And
so when you look in the Sephorno, he's saying exactly what you were saying, basically.
Let's see the Sephorno. Kiach Rashi. Af al pisho hoysa chatosi baseser, v'shavti b'shuva, and I did v'shavti b'shuva, but b'od shecherashti, v'loi his, ultimately I did teshuva. But b'od, until I did the teshuva, b'od shecherashti, v'loi his v'desi, bolu atzamay b'shagosi. Very good. I totally missed the point over there. Exactly. So, okay, Rav Dov, you're right. Dov, and Rabbi Mayevsky are saying over here that there's a machloikis between Rashi and the Mitzudot Zavid. Okay, the Mitzudot Zavid, I always like, you know, I always feel funny saying that, but I can't apologize every single time. I like to treat the Mitzudot Zavid as if he lives in the time of Rashi. Obviously, the Mitzudot Zavid came long after Rashi.
And
how many? 600 years later?
Yeah.
Okay, he's not a Rishon, he's a Malakite.
Right.
But he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable. His Koyach HaLoshon and his ideas are unbelievable. He's selected. He doesn't quote anyone. He never tells you the source. The Rambam never tells you a source. Never. That was the big criticism of the Rambam. Where do you get this from? Where did you?
Like the Gaon,
never quote a source.
He was the source.
Oh, he wasn't the source. Never quotes a source. The Rambam. That was the critique. The Rambam said, once you have me, you don't need the Gemara anymore. You know,
right.
Just you learn every day. Rambam.
Well, that was the style in Spain, the way they learned. That's
a different
the
world.
The Rif is the Rif, and they didn't learn Talmud Bavli.
The Rambam said, Farish. All you need to know is to learn the Mishnah Torah. You learn my Yad HaChazaka, and you're done. You're done. You don't need to learn Daf Yomi. You don't need to learn Daf Yomi. Okay? And the reaction to that statement was explosive. Explosive. In any event, going back over here, there appears to be a very profound machloikis between Rashi and the Mitzudois as to what this pasuk means. Everyone seems to agree that what hecherashti means I was quiet. The question is, what does it mean to be quiet? According to the Mitzudois, it means I reflected. When I reflected, I went to the barber, got a haircut. You know, when you're in the barber's chair, what do? You don't learn Gemara in the barber's chair. You think? And when I reflected, what?
Politics with the barber.
Politics with?
With the barber.
Barber?
You speak to the barber. Like going to
ever since COVID, I haven't gone to the barber in 2.5 years. COVID came, can't go to the barber. So what did I do? I went online and I bought a device for $40 from Amazon. They give yourself a haircut. I don't have too much hair, so it doesn't really make a difference to me. And ever since that, no more barber. And believe me, I don't miss it. No, and I don't miss it. I don't miss my hair is not so. It's not so good. But it's not much hair. Unfortunately, there's not so much hair to cut anyway. Grass doesn't grow on busy streets. But in any event, reflection. It means when I reflected upon what I have done. Oh, I'm bolu at samoy. Is it different than what?
Reflection has a meaning.
Okay, that's what it means. According to the Mitzudois, Mr. Merlis, we know that you were not here yesterday. We missed you. We know that you were not here yesterday. We missed you.
Am I here now?
Yes, you're here now.
I don't know.
Unless you're a hologram.
I'm not all there.
Unless you're a hologram. Kiyach Rashi, according to the Mitzudas, means reflection. According to Rashi means I just was remiss in my duties. I just allowed it. I decided, listen, I don't need to do too. It doesn't mean reflection. I just let it go. No, I did an Aveira. Big deal. subconsciously, it's a big deal. It is a big deal. It really is a big deal. And it began to the guilt began to build. A person does an avera, he has a need, deep down, he has a need to unburden himself. We learned yesterday, noise avayim. Noise means to carry. Hashem says, I will carry the sin for you. Give it to me. A person does an avera, this guilt. You're carrying a heavy load. It's heavy. It's burdensome. Hashem says, give it to me. Hashem is noise avayim. Hashem carries the sin for you. I'll take it away. Put it on my shoulders. I'll take it away. You don't burden yourself with the sin. I let you get by. A person, until the person unburdens himself, it carries weight. And it's a burden. And that burden destroys a person. Bolo'at samay. Bishagasi kol hayoyim. And it goes, look at the difference in how you translate the word bishagasi. And realize that. That's a very different, very big difference between the word Rashi and the Mitzudos. According to the Mitzudos, because he translates the word Sechrashi to mean I reflected, he has no choice but to say Bishagasi. He has to inject a word that doesn't appear in the Pasuk. I then had I reflected, Boluat Samoy, and then I did Teshuvah. And the Teshuvah is expressed with the words Bishagasi Kol Hayom. I cried out to you the entire day to do teshuvah, to atone, to achieve atonement for my sin. According to Rashi, Bishagasi Kol Hayom, it seems to be is going on, it doesn't really say, but it would seem at face value, it's going on the pain. Boluat Samoy, my bones wore out, Bishagasi, when I cried, I roared, Kol Hayom, in Tsar. When I allowed the burden to overwhelm me, it caused me to express tsar, until ultimately I did teshuvah to get rid of that burden. All right, let's see. Let's go a little.
The way I understand it is that even though we may say that there's a slight difference, nuance in the Rashi and the Sudos, they're both really saying that. You know, he was dying. He was very concerned because he did not do tshuva. Previous psukim are talking about tshuva.
Right.
But Rashi is saying he didn't do vidui, he didn't do tshuva, and similarly, the Mitzudos coming from that he didn't reflect. When you say nachbas of the rechina v'nachpera, in other words, it's also a precedent to tshuva. It's basically a concern that David had. He did the tshuva al-pshay. Because if he would have done tshuva, so then, you know, you say Ovein, Al-Cheta, Al-Pesha, and that's the common character.
This pasuk you're saying is part of the process. It's part of the process of tshuva. And there are different elements.
Yeah.
There are different elements.
He refrained from doing what he has to do.
It builds up.
To do a proper tshuva, whether it's vidui or tshuva. And when he realized that, as soon as it says, then he roared like a lion doing
the more you suppress yourself, the more ultimately, you know, you let it out. People are saying that people are traveling like crazy now. They're going on trips all over the world. Like it's unbelievable. People, why? Well, after being in lockdown for 2 years and being restricted, you compress a person and now you open up the doors. People are fighting in society. People are just desperate to travel, to get out, to go, to be places. After being, you know, subconsciously with people, we don't even, people, they'll probably be studying the, you know, the effects of lockdown for generations. What happens to a person when you lock up a person for a significant period of time, subconsciously, how does it affect you? How does it affect you now? Oh, now everything is open, you want to go. There's an effect. Rabbi Mayevsky, this week, Parashas Chukas has the most mapik hayz. In the first Haliyah, literally every other hay is a mapik hay. At the end of the pasuk, ho, 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 ho. Why are there so many mapik hayz in this parasha? Okay, this is a tongue in cheek, but why? Because last week, Parashas Korach is the only parasha in the Torah that doesn't have even one. Not even one.
Not even one.
Not even one. So when you suppress all the Mapik Hayes, this week is the revenge of the Mapik Hayes. When you suppress no Mapik Hayes, oh, now Parshas Korach is over. We're coming for revenge. We're coming to get you. And therefore, you have Mapik Hayes galore. Mapik Hayes galore in the first day of Monday, Mincha on Monday and Thursday, and Shabbos. They're not going to let you forget about the Mapik Hayes. When you suppress, so over here, it's interesting, over here what it says in this Pasuk, Mordechai is making an interesting point. Ki hecherashti. Hecherashti, the Pasuk begins with silence. Sheket. Silence. And then at the end of the Pasuk, it says, Gashagosi. Shagosi represents an extreme form of dibur, to roar. You don't just speak quietly and gently, you roar. Why? Because when you start out with hecherashti, then, and you suppress, you attempt to suppress, that naturally causes a buildup of frustration and energy, which ultimately will roar like a volcano.
You have to go to the other extreme.
Okay, there's a lot of science about children who are late talkers. This is very true. There's an unbelievable science to this. Is that children, or there are a lot of adult children, they don't talk. They're a year old, they don't talk. 2 years, and they're way behind in their verbal communication, and parents go crazy. Imamish go crazy, they take him to doctors, take him to psychologists, and they do all these tests. How come the kid doesn't talk? How come everyone else, all of his friends, they're all talking, and this kid barely gets out a word? And studies have shown that the late talkers, once they start, they never stop.
I start early and I continue.
Okay, so this is an interesting point of being of hecherashti hecherashti baluatzamay b'shagosti kol hayoyim. I was like, those that hecherashti, the people that start out being quiet in the beginning, at the end, baluatzamay b'shagosti kol hayoyim, my vocal cords, my bones are worn out because I don't stop talking. I'm telling you a drush. The people that start out hecherashti, at the end is, they wear out their vocal cords and their jaw and their teeth because they talk so much. Because b'shagosti kol hayom. And there's a lot of truth to this. People that don't talk right away, they absorb. You listen, 98, most of what you need to know in life is just by listening. There's a rule in business. Go get an MBA, Wharton. You can sum up everything you need to know in Wharton Law and Business School. Instead of paying $1 million in tuition, I'll give you the whole course right now. 80-20. Master the principle of 80-20, and you'll be the most successful CEO of any company. What is 80-20? Whenever you have a meeting, listen 80% of the conversation, listen. And only 20% of the conversation, speak. If you can master that rule, 80-20, you will be extremely successful. Problem is, we're such baligaiva, not yet. We want to be the one. We want to be the one who talks and says and talks and talks.
Most people are not good listeners.
It's a very hard thing. What? I don't know. You see, you said in life, if you're quiet in the beginning and you absorb, you listen, then ultimately people will listen to you. You'll have what to say. Take in ki hecherashti. If you'll be quiet, then ultimately you'll have so much what to say. Bolu atzama, your bones will be worn out from giving out information to other people that they want to hear. I was in Lakewood, I once asked, now it's probably different, but years ago I asked someone in Lakewood, are there a lot of Dafyomi Shi'um in Lakewood? So he told me, no. I don't know if today it's true anymore. Lakewood today is not Lakewood, it's a whole different world today. So he says, no, Dafyomi is not popular in Lakewood. I said, why not? Because in Lakewood, everyone wants to give the shi'ur. No one wants to listen to a shi'ur. Okay, it used to be, they don't slap a shi'ur. people would want to listen to a share. And therefore, oh, to listen, so you have a good magid share, you have a lot. But if everyone wants to give the share, no one wants to listen. Who are you giving a share to? Okay, there's a koyach in the listening. Koyach hashemiah. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, dal, ki yoyimam v'layla, tichbar alai yodecha. By day and by night, tichbar alai yodecha, nepach l'shadi, b'char v'voynei, kayitz sela. What does this pasuk mean? It's a difficult pasuk. Let's see the Mishnah Zavid on this page, on page 276. Ritzon alaymar, what does this mean? Ki pochadeti, now each mefayrash is going to learn this pasuk according to his understanding. According to the Mitzudos, this is a continuation of the previous pasuk. Ki pochadeti ben pen, yoimam v'layla tichbad olay makas yodecha. David says that the reason why I had so much agmas nefesh, I was afraid that, like you say in the Teuchecha, Yoimam, Rabbi Meir, what is the pasuk? By day you're going to say, Mi yitain boker, Velo erev yitain, Mi yitain boker, and boker yoimar, Mi yitain nafkat the pasuk. By day, every day, it's so bad, I can't wait until it's night. It's a horrible existence where everything is torture. And you just want to get through the moment. Oh, if only tomorrow, the next moment.
That's what you have when you're depressed. That's what happens.
Just get through.
You can't sleep during the day and you can't sleep at night.
You can't enjoy the present. Everything is like, you can't wait to get this over with. It's a terrible existence, such an existence. So it's exactly what it says over here. It says over here, David over here says, "Kipochalti pen yom v'layla tichbar alai makas yodecha." By the day and night, it will just weigh down upon me the punishment. V'halachluchis shebi yenepach liyovesh. So, the lachluchis. What over here is the lachluchis? Lishadi. This is something very interesting because this is the same letters as the name of Hashem on our tefillin, and it comes from lashon of shadayim, a woman's breast, which is where a child gets its nourishment. Okay, the shadayim shel isha. And what is a child getting? It gets nourished. What is nourishment? Lachluchis, what we call moisture. And it says, nepach l'shadi b'charvoyne kaitz. Charvoyne means heat. Look at the mitzvah of siyoin. Charvoyne miloshim choyre v'yoyve shachoyim. It means dryness. Kaitz, the days of the sun. So back to the mitzvah of David. I was terrified. Hashem, you would weigh down the heaviness of your hand. The punishment would come down hard upon me. And what would the result be? I would dry up. My lachluchis, my hydration, the lachluchis shebiyi nepach liyoyvesh, it would turn dry. Ki ilu hoyo li'olam b'choyr v'kayitz, like the way the world is in the heat of the summer. In the summertime, the intensity of the sun is great, and everything on the ground becomes dry. And David over here is describing this, a very fascinating principle in health, in health and in concept, is that lachluchas, a person needs
hydration.
A person needs to be hydrated. The engine of your car has to be well lubricated. Oil always has to be there's this principle of lachluchis, and lachluchis is described with this unusual word nepach lishadi becharvoyne kayitz. The words don't really translate very well. I don't really translate. Again, let's read the pasuk one more time inside. Ki yoimam v'layla tichbad olay yodecha. David says, now he's adding the mitzudah, he's adding many words into this pasuk. And the main word that he's eating is, I was afraid. I was afraid that, you have to read it backwards, the weight of your hand would come down upon me by day and by night. Hashem, you're angry at me. I have sinned. I have rebelled against you. I have done an aveira. I have not done teshuva. And there are consequences. And they are that the weight of your hand will come down hard upon me by day and by night, period. What else was I afraid? I was afraid that nepach lishadi, and that doesn't really flow well. The hydration, the lachluchas, the moisture of my existence, of my health, it would be transformed. We're going to add a word over here. Into it will dry up. It will evaporate, just like bicharvoine kayitz, like the earth becomes dry in the summertime, sela forever. It's quite a perish. That's quite an elaboration, an injection of words into this pasuk that it does not appear to be present. Let's see Rashi. Now Rashi goes on to the next. So let's go. Which we want more pasuk. Pasuk Ches Chatosi Odiacha. David now confesses. Therefore, because of all of my pain, the pain that I'm suffering, and because of the terror that I'm overwhelmed with, what is going to happen to my neshama if I do not do teshuva? It's going to dry up forever. Therefore, chatosi odiacha, I confess. I have no choice. I've come to the conclusion that it is necessary for me to come clean and to confess and suffer the consequences. Chatosi, my sin, odiacha, I make it known to you. Va'avoini, and my sins, loichi sisi, I do not conceal. I have to let it all hang out. Amarti, I said, oide alei fisho'ai laHashem, I will confess regarding my pisho'im to Hashem, and the ata, and you, nososi avoin chatosi sela. And thus, you will reciprocate, and you will carry my sins away forever. Now notice the pasuk here, in pasuk ches, it summarizes everything we've learned until now, where David is confessing for three different types of sins. The avoin, and the pesha, and the chet. The chet, o diacha, I make it known. The avoin, I do not conceal. And my pesha'ai, it's odeh, I confess. Now notice the difference between the word odeh and odiacha. Odiacha means to you. My chatosi, I make it known to you. When it comes to the fisha'ai, it just says, I confess to myself. Now there's the Rambam, and I cannot find this Rambam. I once heard this on a tape, and I have no idea where it is. And the ask people told me, I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's a I wish I knew where this was, if it exists, because it's so profound, it would be very worthy to really develop on this. So supposedly, the Rambam somewhere says that on Yom Kippur, you have to ask Mechila from three entities. Three! We're all brainwashed. We're brainwashed in life. You only have to ask Mechila from two entities. Ben Adam Lamokoim and Ben Adam Lachavera. Chazal say that being Mevakesh Mechila, Ben Adam Lamokoim, is not going to work unless you first Mevakesh Mechila, Ben Adam Lachavera. Don't come Yom Kippur to ask Mechila from Hashem unless you take care of your business first. Erev Yom Kippur, you ask Mechila among your Chaverim for any Aver you've done to them. First Adam LaChaveroi, then Adam LaMakom. That's what we've learned in Yeshiva. Two entities, the Ribbono Shel Olam and man. Adam LaMakom LaChaveroi. Supposedly the Rambam says, no, that's wrong. There are three. You ask Mechila bin Adam LaMakom. From Adam LaChaveron, Adam LaMakom, and you ask Mechila from yourself. There are people who are Mevakesh Mechila bin Adam LaChaveron, and the Mevakesh Mechila bin Adam LaMakom, but they forget to ask Mechila from themselves. Before Yom Kippur, they go over to their friends, I did not dare to you, I can't live with myself, I stole this money. I did a search, I couldn't find this anywhere. I asked what they were talking about. I don't even know, I don't remember, time has passed, they forget all these things. And I was like, wow, that is amazing. Three, you got to ask Mechila from yourself. You can, your friend, you pay him off, he's very happy. He made profit on the Avera. Ribbono Shel Olam, chatosi, avisi, poshati, I feel good. But I hate myself. I can't go further in life. I just can't. I have no cheshek because I failed. No, you have to ask mechila from yourself. And there's an allusion to this in this pasuk. Here it says, Chatosi Odiacho. I make it known. I make it known to you. Odiacho. Emphasize the chof. Coming to you. I make it known my sin. I confess to you. Who is the you here? Hashem. Maybe it's Adam Lachaveroi. Va'avoini my sin loichi sisi. I don't conceal. Okay, that's another. I don't hide. I'm not hiding. Maybe you want to say drush. Odiacho refers to your friend. Va'avoini is to Hashem. I don't make believe. I reveal it to Hashem. And then the third element, omarti, I say to myself, omarti. Ode, I confess alei fesha'ai. Oh, here's Lahashem. So, ode, okay, I don't know what I'm saying is in this pasuk. I take it back, but anyway, there is such a principle. Omarti, I say to myself, ode, alei fesha'ai Lahashem. Here's Lahashem, so you can't only say it's referring to yourself, unless you really want to twist it in some kind of weird way, like I wouldn't mind doing, but there is such a principle. You got to talk to yourself. You got to confess to yourself. Remember that story I always tell you about Lubavitch?
My father used to explain to me, I'll be inside the caravan, because then you get down on yourself, you back yourself into a corner by setting yourself up to fail.
Exactly.
Doing too much, and then you, like you're on a diet, and you start to binge. You feel so bad about yourself, so don't push the envelope.
You gotta confess to yourself. The Ato and you, Hashem, nososi avoin chatosi zel. Beinecha. Alti beinecha, the Ferish Mishnah. Right, you're saying the Ferish Mishnah.
Right.
In your own eyes. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Dalet.
There is one thing interesting here, that chatati, the avoni, is single, and sha'ai the rabin, not ish'i. Sha'ai
the plural.
Many.
Are there alei fish? All of my sins. Yeah. There are many diyukim. Yeah, you're saying good. There are many diyukim here. One, the singular. When it comes to the chet and the alvain, it's singular. But when it comes to the pesha'im, it's in plural. And then again, then you also have to acknowledge that we have again over here, what is that? What category is that? We already said this. And if you want to go say this repetition, not the word Pesha does not appear. You have carried, unless you want to go say that, let's see Rashi. These two are sitting together in Rashi. Did we do the Mitzudos? Well, Pasuk Hey, I'm sorry. Let's do Pasuk Hey in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Hey. I confess my sins. I do not deny it. When I said this, one more time. Therefore, because I have reflected, according to the Mitzvah stuff, we're going back to the previous pasuk, I reflected. And therefore, I have no choice but to come forward and come clean and come out and roar over my sins. I make known my sins. V'loy achacheish, but I do not deny it. Ki amarti, I said, ki sho'ideh alei fesha'ai ve'eschareit, because I said to myself that if I will go through this method, through this process of confession, the process of confession will result in forgiveness. Oz then, Timchol Aleihem Le'olam, you will forgive me forever. Kilo Yizoch Re'od, it will never be remembered. There's a chazal, a famous chazal, that David asked Hashem. David did teshuva, and Hashem forgave him. Hashem said to David, David, you are forgiven. And then David says, it's not enough. I want you to erase it from the record. I don't want the world to ever know what happened. Why is it necessary? Does the world know what I ate for breakfast? Look in the back, over here we have all these cereals. You could have raisin bran, cornflakes, and this, I don't even know what these things are over here. Life, all these things over here. Does is there any record what cereal David had for breakfast? Does anyone know? Does anyone care? There's no record. No record. So Hashem knew I was nichshel with Bathsheba. It was a terrible aveira. I suffered for it dearly. Suffered dearly. I did teshuva my entire life. And you, Hashem, told me, I forgive you. You're forgiven. There's going to be no punishment. You've grown. Okay, wonderful. Now let's go to the next step. Strike it from the record. Strike it. No one should ever come along in the year, the secular year in America, in Young Israel, in Midwood, 2022, and say, David was nichshol with Bathsheba. Why do people have to know it if you forgave me? Hashem said, no, not that. I'm not going to give you. And that I'm not giving you. That you're not giving me. Sins, you're forgiven, there's no punishment, but it's on the record. There's something to that. David over here, to a degree, now David over here, maybe you want to look, David was Mevakesh, Amarti, Oide Ale Fisha'ayla Hashem, the Ata, you Hashem, I'm making a request. Not only have you forgiven me, Nososa Avoin Chatosi, carry it away. Strike it from the record. Okay, expunge it from the record. You ever get a ticket for speeding? You get points. So when do the points go away? You gotta wait months, years. How many months?
39.
39 months until you get those points. They remove from the record. That's
But it seems that he got the request because Chazal does what Hakadosh Baruch Hu what he wants from Hakadosh Baruch Hu.
Kol oimer David chato. Okay, that's interesting what you're saying. That to a degree, David got his wish.
Because everyone knows of his request.
But Chazal at least defended him, and no one understands what that means. Kol oimer David chato, ein
elatoya. Because he did tshuva.
Okay, this Chazal is not. You're not going to have a good answer.
No, but that's the way I interpret it.
He did tshuva. Okay. But
he did sin, but
what?
He did
chuva. But Chazal say he did. Away. He didn't do. He never sinned.
Yeah, what? Once you do the chuva,
once the chuva wipes away, it transforms the sin.
All right, okay. If you're satisfied with that, I'm not going to. I'll divide by all of us. Okay, I don't.
No, but the punch of shot is because she got a get.
It wasn't really a sin, right? Technically speaking, it wasn't really a chet because she had a get. I'll deny this, that. Okay. There are many answers to this question, but the fact is, it is not. It is discussed. It is recorded. It is a major, major topic in David HaMelech's life. And David did not get his request to the degree that he wanted, that it should be no one's business. It should be just like what he had for breakfast. No one cares, no one knows. Every little thing you have to know about, it's between me and you, Hashem. You forgave me and that's it. The world doesn't have to know about it. That did not happen. That's how Rashi learns. Now let's see what it says here in Rashi. That's how Mitzudas learns. Pasuk Dal in Rashi. Ki yom v'layla ho yakavir alay moiro yodecha u'gizeiro yisecha. So Rashi starts out similar to the Mitzudas David, that he adds the word the mora. The mora means the fear. When it says over here in the pasuk, tichbad olai yodecha, it doesn't say what that means exactly, but the way the Mitzudas and the way Rashi learned, I was terrified. I was terrified that due to my sins, you would come down upon me with the full weight, the full might of the Ribbono Shel Olam would come down on me hard to punish me. Mora yodecha u'gizeiro yisecha. Nepach le shadi, lich luach sheli. Okay, where do you find the word le shadi? Shad. Okay, le shad hashomen. And what is the word over there? Rashi teaches the word, the mun. Okay, this week's parasha also is the mun. The mun is what appears in this week's parasha. What would we say in this week's parasha about the mun? They complained about the mun again in this week's parasha. Okay,
This week's parasha
again, they complain about the man. Lichluach shemen. The lichluach, the moisture of shemen. Now, does that mean kach perishu dunash? So, over here we have the very unusual word lishadi, which is what was with the mitzvah stuff. It comes from the word moisture. And then, umenachem chibroi, lishon shedida, destruction. Okay, there are so many words. I'm always amazed how many words you have in Tanakh.
Plunder.
Plunder. So many words you have in Tanakh that refer to destruction. And here's another word. Leshadi miloshnov shedida kimo mishoid aniyim, from the plundering of the poor. The poor are vulnerable. No one's able to protect them. They are not able to protect themselves. So they're plundered. Rishoim zu shaduni, these evil people, the Rishoim zu mutasher, means Rishoim zu Rishoim, asher shaduni. Whenever it says the word zu in Tanakh, it means asher. The Rishoim asher shaduni, who have plundered me. Okay? So therefore, let's go back to the pasuk then, let's first finish the Rashi. Bechar voinei kayitz ad, according to Rashi's first pshat, dunash, it means moish lachluchis miloshoin shad hashomen, the lachluchis, the moisture of oil, ad sheyivash, I was dried up, my moisture was evaporated, sheyivash kichoyrev hakayitz, like the heat of the summertime, mibnei da'agas koyved yodcha shohayisa doig al chatoai, due to the daiga, due to the worry, the agmas nefesh, and the fear of that the weight of your hand would come down upon me, my moisture dried up until I was dry like the dryness of the summer. Ulefichach, therefore I have no choice but to come clean. Chatosi oidiacha tamid. Okay, so over here he learns something. It's a very powerful word over here. I will make it known to you continuously. The present tense. This is a very common idea in Tanakh, that whenever something is in the present tense, it connotes continuous, a continuous state. Whenever it says in the present tense, ki amarti, I said, ze toiv, it is a good idea, she'oide alei fesho'ai la'Hashem, period. V'yata, ki she'oide si, V'amarti l'nosan ha'navi chotosi. Oh, so Rashi is going back to Shmuel, and he's saying over here that when you Hashem, when I have confessed, and I said to Nosan was the one that broke it to David. Nosan ha'navi was the one that brought about the accusation of what David has done by presenting a mashal. David, I have a shaila. What happens if there's a poor man, and all he has is a little lamb, and along comes a rich man, has everything he can possibly want in the world, and he goes and he sees the little lamb, and he takes it away and he slaughters it, and he eats, he takes away from the poor man the little teeny thing that he has. What is the halacha, David? David said, the guy's a Rasha, he's chayev misa. And Nos Nanavi says, guess what, David? You just paskin your own haldin. Atoho ish. You're that person. And you just decided your own fate, because you can marry any woman you want in the whole world. Anyone you want. You don't have enough shidduch resumes. And you have to go take away an eshes ish. This all this man has, Uriah Hachiti, all he has is this woman. And you go have to go take away his wife. You don't have enough shidduchim, you don't have enough wives. You have 18 wives. You need more? Atoho ish. And what was David's immediate response? This was his godless chotasi. This is unbelievable. This is hard to imagine. That David on the spot, of an art, as I say in Yiddish, on the spot, he said chotasi. Didn't take him weeks and months and years. He immediately, this is the koich of David. No, this is godless. This is where he shines. He said chotasi.
Saul also at one point said
chotasi. Not right away.
But
that was the difference.
He made an excuse.
That's why he lost the malchus. Twice, he struck out twice. He did two averos, and each time he came up with these brilliant excuses. And Shmuel said to him, no excuse. And then, okay, you're right. But he initially denied it, and that is why Shaul lost the Malchus. And the Malchus was given to David, because David said immediately, without any delay whatsoever, Chatos. Even though the chait of David was much more severe than what Shaul did. Shaul committed minor averos, relatively speaking, to living with an eshes ish. But even on the minor averos, he refused to confess, and David admitted immediately over an aver which would cause an incredible bushel chlima, and there was no cover-up. That's why David lost Malchus. In politics, it is a fact. All politicians are doomed not because of their crimes, almost never. Cover up is what kills everyone. The cover up is where all the people go down. If they would confess to their crime immediately, what would be? I don't know. What would have been if Nixon would have said immediately Khatas? What would have happened? I have no idea. Does anyone know what would have happened? What would have happened to Nixon? So would he be forced to resign on the spot?
Yeah?
Sure. If he would have said Khatasi?
Yeah.
You think so? I don't know. Before my time.
He was a very, very good president.
He was before
America,
my time.
America is a
very forgiving. Extremely forgiving. But that's a pretty serious crime what he did.
Yeah.
A pretty serious crime. Not as though what Hillary did. Hillary to break into the Oval Office and to pay a company to hack into to the President of the United States to serve. I mean, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. It makes what Nixon did like it's unbelievable. It's Pennsylvania. But that at that time in the world, what would have happened at that time in the world? Who knows? But
if Trump would say Pelosi, they'd hang him.
Trump would never ever say he made a mistake. Never.
If he would,
and that's going to bring him down.
That's his greatest
danger.
It would make it worse.
Greatest danger. Trump will never ever say he made a mistake. That's very
Biden
scary.
Also never made a mistake.
Oh, that Biden. Biden's a whole lot. Very dangerous.
I never made a mistake. Once I thought I did, but I was wrong.
That's the only mistake that I thought. That's a very dangerous midah, which got to be very careful. Okay, we're going further. Lashon Hara
v'chu ki amarti zeh. Right. What the Rashi says in Shon Hokuteh is not nehepach alayt mishu. That's not. That's above. Because nehepach with the patach is pes, above. Nehepach with kamatz is upe. But what Rashi means here, that ha-hoveh is odeh alayt sha'ay. I keep admitting.
Continuously.
That's that
I continuously confess. There's no end to the confession. When Yom Kippur is over, what's the first thing you say when Yom Kippur is over? What? After all that? After a whole day? What? What sin? We're done with this already. At least wait until tomorrow morning. This pasuk, David says, Achet is hoyve, continuous. There's no such thing. You can finish Yom Kippur, be a malach alakim tzivakas. A whole day fasting, doesn't matter. It is a continuous, lifelong process.
Tamid.
Continuously, there's no end. Very good, tamid. There's no end to this. Chatosi oidiyacha tamid. Uleshoin hoyvehu. Ki amarti zet hoyv. It is a good thing. Shoide alay pfishoy lashem. Viata ki shoidesi viamarti when I confessed. And I said, "L'nosna navi chatosi, nosos avoin chatosi, kinyin shnei marsham." Like it says over there, "Gam Hashem hevir chatoscha noson hanavi." Right away said to David, "Hashem forgives you," but even though Hashem forgives you, but David, the rest of his life continued to confess. Okay, now let's so we have over here something. Let's clarify over here this idea of odemin shakai. So we have to clarify. According to the parish of the Dunash, it means that Nepach Lishadi, the Lamed is very difficult. It's not really explaining the grammar of this word according to Rashi and the Mitzvahs. Nepach Lishadi Bechar Voine Kayitz Sela. You have to translate the words out of order. That in the Charvone, I don't know how the lamed. I really don't know how the lamed with the shva fits into this expression. That's the shoresh.
Yeah.
Now, what about the grammar? The shoresh is shindal, which means lachluchis, hydration. The charvoine kayitz is an expression which means the dryness of the summer. The dryness of the summer has caused that my hydration has evaporated. I become like a rock. But put that at concept. We understand David is saying that because of the pachad of what's going to happen, the punishment that awaits me for my sins, my lachluchis, my hydration has evaporated. I have become like a dry piece of wood that occurs in the hot summer.
I'm
That's why he says the lamed is part of the word.
Yeah.
The sherbet is not shindalim. The sherbet is lamed shindalim.
You think so?
I think so.
Nepach.
Because it says, look, he brings lishad hashomer. What is lishad? It doesn't mean two
lishad hashomer.
Lamed is part of the
Shirish, right? Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're saying that Lamed, and yet is there such a thing, I don't know grammar, is there such a thing that Pe'a Poyal in the Shirish has a Shva? Is there such a noun? So you're saying that it's part of the Shirish, it's a noun. The Pe'a Poyal is the Lamed. And the Lamed, the Nikud is a Shva?
How do you tie it to the Midbar? It says B'Shat HaShomer. What does that mean? The Lamed there doesn't mean two Shad HaShomer. The
Shad,
the Lachuk,
and so the Shemin. Oh, so he said, the, Le Shad, regarding.
This is a word, it says, Le Shad Atzmotai, the inside of the bones.
The marrow.
Also, the marrow. Le Shad Atzmotai.
The marrow of the bones.
Lamed Shin Dalet. Lamed Shin Dalet.
Okay.
Le Shad Shin Became opposite.
Okay.
Became
chavonikai.
He's saying
lamed
should
down. He's saying. Unbelievable. He's saying good. I accept. He's saying that the lamed. Oh, look at the Malbum. Look what the Malbum says. Unbelievable. What you're saying. Look at the Malbum. The Malbum addressed this in the Perush Hamilos. Their Hamilos on page 277. Lishadi halamed shoresh. The lamed, unbelievable. The lamed is the pei hapoyal. Every word there are three root letters, and the root letters are pei ayin lamed, poal. And the first letter is represents the pei. So he's saying that it's the shorish kumo bitam, the taste lishad hashomen. So there, it's interesting. He's saying that the word there, the lamed is part of the shorish. Okay, now you know I have over here. Let's say me'inyin lachluchis v'charvoyne, shame. Okay, v'charvoyne is also it is a noun, shame. Me'inyin chorei v'yodesh. Okay, let's look at the bare inyan on the right side of the album. Let's see how he explains over here on the inside. Okay, run through the Rambam very quickly. Ki ata maschil levor hadav rabbi eich koshem oira pesha al kisuchato halay kozman shecharashti v'loy hisvadesi al chatoisai balu atzamoy. Al yidei shagosi sheshogati kol yom mitzad shemim alay letichbad al yola yotcha. Okay, haynu makas yotcha. I'm now in the first wide line in the Malbim, page 277. Bima shenepach lishadi becharvoyne kayitz. The haynu hamakas shel atziras kishamim. So he's saying a little bit of a twist, a little bit of a metaphor here. The Hashem is holding back rain. Atziras Gishamim. I thought this means that his health is not the way it should be. He's saying Atziras Gishamim. The summertime. Sha'al yidei charvoyne viveshus hakayitz nepach lishadi shekol lachluches ho'adoma, the moisture of the earth, the aperos nepach lichorev viveshus mizemivor. Now we understand sha'al yidei shloi hisvadesi al chatosi, I did not confess my sins. Netzrua gishamim. So the punishment, there was a drought. David HaMelech and his life, there were many droughts. There was a major drought. V'chovdo olai yad Hashem b'kayitz chorei v'yovesh ad shebolu atzomai, my bones wore out. Meroiv shagosi al hatzor, I cried out over this matter. Selo siyamin, he says over the Malbim, the sel doesn't mean forever. It does not mean forever, like the mitzvahs of Rosh Hashanah. It just means it's just as a place, an indication to the singers, to the musicians, and the singers stop. Okay, like the conductor moves his hands up and down. I have no idea what those conductors are doing by moving their hands around like that, but it's a simon to the conductor, Sela, put your hands down and tell the musicians to stop. It's just nothing more than that. It does not mean forever. It does not mean forever. It's a period. Okay. So this. Yes.
It looks like the machlokas between Durash and Menachem is whether the lamin is part of the shorah
right,
shana.
Right. Correct,
but
correct.
When do not bring it, he doesn't bring any lamin.
Right.
And he right. means, it means lishadi, it means shadida.
Doesn't
right.
believe in a two-letter shorah.
So that, well, it's shadida, so it's not necessarily two-letter, because the root, the shorah itself can be three words. Shadad. I'm not sure what the word, the pure word is, but when you use the word in writing, then it's not uncommon that one of the letters of the Shurish falls away. But the original word has three letters. So now, according to the Mitzvah of the Stav, we're saying it's very chiddush. Let's review what we learn over here. David over here says that the word lishad, the lam is part of the Shurish, and the lishad is moisture. And he says, due to the pachad, that Hashem would punish me for my averos, nepach lishadi, my lachluchis was transformed. It evaporated to nothing. Similar to the charvoine kayitz, to the dryness of the summer. Sela, whatever that means, either maybe I was doomed forever, or that's just a sign for the conductor to stop. The Malbim just elaborates a little bit more, and he says, what's this matter of moisture and dryness of the summer? Hashem held back rain. When a person is not due to Shuvah, then Rachmana Litzlan, there can be a recession. There can be an absence of the Matar, the Geshem, Parnasa, rain. Okay, now, what about Menachem? Menachem says, Chatos, Rabbi Menachem says, Nepach Lishadi. And what's b'charvoinei kaitz? He doesn't really explain. Let's go back to Menachem. U'menachem chibroi l'shoi n'shedida. K'boi mishoid aniyim. R'shoim zu shaduni. Aleph. Now let's go look over here in the Sifsei Zikainim. L'shadi dunash halamid also. He said, That's dunash. Also he's saying, halamid minasherish. Visharasha Lamid Shindalit Ulamanachem Shodad. Okay, he's telling us the different Sharashim here. I'm getting all mixed up here. Menachem says Shedida Ogari. So that is Menachem. Dunash says it means Lashad, like what the Malbim said, like what Rav Mordechai Mintz said, and like Rav Kalman said, that the Lamid is the Shoresh. The Lamid is the Shoresh. If the Lamid is the Shoresh, so therefore it means lishad, it means moisture. The Sifsei Zakenim. Lidunash halamid min ha-shoresh. Vishorsha is lishad, like by the mon, moisture. Next, ulaminachem, that says it means shedida. Then he says, udgeish hadalit, there's another nafkamina he says over here. Is the dalit have a dat? Yoyre, al cheshoin ois hakefel, according to Menachem, I said Menachem shedat. According to Menachem, the root, the shoresh is shin dalid dalid. Shin no two dalids. No shedat. Shin dalid dalid. Shin right. So right, that's exactly the point. Shin dalid dalid. The root is shin dalid dalid. There is no lamed here. Shin dalid dalid. Now, we're taking the word shedida, shedad, which means to destroy, to crush, to pulverize, and we're using it in this word. So the second dalid is falling away, and that's why we put a dot in the dalid. A dot in the dalid connotes that there are really two dalids. The original word is shin dalid dalid. Udigash hadalid yore al chesher no itza kefal v'halamid shimushis. And the lamid is just a prefix. It's lishat, for destruction. Now, let's go back and try to read the pasuk based upon that interpretation. The pasuk says, Kiyom v'lai l'tich bad alai yadcha. Nepach, it was transformed to destruction. What does it mean? What was nepach? Now, what was nepach? What's the subject of nepach? It would appear in Hashem's hand. Hashem, yimincha Hashem ne'dori ba'koyach. Yimincha Hashem tirat oyev. I am suggesting is that the subject of the word nepach, according to Dunash, is Hashem's hand. According to Menachem, the subject of Nepach is the Lachluchis. According to Dunash, the Lishadi, the Lachluchis was Nepach to dryness. According to Menachem, the Nepach is going on Hashem's hand. Hashem's Poseach es Yodecha. Hashem's hand ordinarily is always bestowing kindness, goodness, shelter. Hashem says to Moshe, I will shelter you, I will put my hand upon you to shelter you. Ordinarily, Hashem's yad is there to shelter and to protect us. But David says, because of my chatoim, what?
In this case,
oh, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's Nepach. Exactly, that's why it's Nepach. So the subject of the word Nepach, according to Dunash, is the Yad. The Yad of Hashem was Nepach to destroy me. Lishadi, to bring about my destruction. Bicharvone kayitz, in the intensity of the heat of the summer, you're gonna dry me up, Hashem. You're gonna dry me up, and by drying me up in the intensity of this fire of the summer, you're gonna destroy me. No one's coming to argue on these words. L'charvoni kayitz, l'charvoni kayitz. Everyone seems to agree it means the heat of the summer, and it refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intense fire coming forth. And this fire, what is it gonna do? Machloikis Menachem and Dunash. Menachem says, this intense fire is going to cause my lachluchis to evaporate. And the word lishad means moisture. The lamed is part of the sherish. According to Dunash, no, the word is shedod, and the lamed is too. And thus, when it says the word nepach, nepach is going on, that the intense heat coming from you is an example of your yad hachazoka being transformed now into a weapon of my destruction. Mayor Appledorf, he once gave me a book, and it said the mamish this yisoid. I'm telling you a verse from a guy. It was a book written by Bloom. What was his first name? He's the author of the book. He's talking about these two goyim. There were two goyim, and this is the verse from a guy. This is what they wrote in the book. It's unbelievable what it says there in this book. Is that in the 80s, there were two mishugoyim mamish. Lunatics, Mishugoy Mamish, they believed that by Har Sinai, Moshe, he took all the Dizahov, Moshe took away all the gold from the Jewish people that they have from the Bizas Yam, and he took it away from them and he buried it. He buried it underneath Har Sinai. Is there such a Chazal that says this? I'm not so sure this is correct. But it seemingly they had this belief that at Har Sinai, after they worshipped the Chet, the Egel Hazov, Moshe took the Egel, he pulverized it, and then he took all of the money, which the Moshe said to Hashem. The reason why they did this was because they're so rich. When you have a lot of money, vayishman yishurun vayivot. So Moshe took away their gold and silver, and he buried it. He buried it under Har Sinai. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if there is such a chazal. Supposedly these mishugoyim, these two goyim mishugoyim, they think that that's true. So they figured, where are they going to find money? They're going to find. They'll become billionaires by going to Har Sinai and digging. They'll dig at Har Sinai, they'll find. So where is Har Sinai? So they did research, and they came up with a certain mountain, which we know what the name of the mountain is, of where Har Sinai is. And they went on an exploration. Crazy, crazy story, not for now. And when they finally came to what they believed to be Har Sinai, they discovered it to be a military zone. They believed there was a mountain in Saudi Arabia, a little mountain in Saudi Arabia, and when they finally came to this place, it was guarded with a very intense security. Because Saudi Arabia purchased technology from the Chinese to put on this mountain the most advanced radar. From the Chinese.
The Chinese
gave them this technology. That was the violation.
No,
that was the Americans wanted to know what was going on. The CIA, you've got the story.
No.
Okay, whatever. It's not important.
whatever it was. And what were they doing on this mountain? They put the most sophisticated technology of the time on this mountain to spy on Israel. To spy on Israel. So these two goyim said, Hayitochein? The koyach of Klal Yisrael is the Torah HaKadosha. You have the Gold of Exodus. He has it. He has the book. Dr. Friedman has the book. The Gold, Howard Bloom, the Gold of Exodus. And this is what the guy said. Hayitochein? What is the koyach of Klal Yisrael? The Torah. The Torah HaKadosha. Right? Even they recognize that. Where was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael? On Har Sinai. The Torah that was given on Har Sinai is the source of Klal Yisrael's protection. And now that very mountain that was used to give Klal Yisrael its koyach is now being used to spy and destroy the state of Israel, the Jewish people. And they marveled at the irony that Har Sinai, the Mokom, that was the Mokom of Kabbalah Satorah, is now a military base where they've installed the most sophisticated technology to serve as a way to spy on the state of Israel. That's what it says in that book, Howard Bloom, that book. The Goyim said this. And Taka, the irony is unbelievable. But you know what? David HaMelech already said it. David HaMelech already said that your Yad, the Yad HaChazoka, Miminoi Eish Dos Lomoi, in Hashem's right hand was a law of fire. And here it says, Yod Tichlalai Yodecha, Nepach, your Yad, that was the Yad HaChazoka, it has now been transformed to be a weapon l'shadi for my destruction. B'charvoyne kayitz. May this fits very well. In the Saudi Arabian desert, where it's very hot, where it's very, very hot, there is your yad has become a source, as a weapon l'shadi. Now, there's one problem over here, Rabbi Yisai, and that is, The dot, right? The dot is the problem.
There's another problem. Leshadi in this shodet. How can Yadecha zanekeva? Yad zanekeva. He says, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, became my shodet.
Right.
Tichbad ala Yadecha nehepach leshadi. According to the...
Do not.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu is...
His yad has been transformed to be my destruction.
He himself became my shodet.
Hashem has become my shodet. One more point out. According to Menachem, we got a problem. According to Menachem, the pasuk l'shad hashamen. There's no dot. I mean, l'shad hashamen is the end of the word. L'shad, the shorish is, there's no dot. So we have a problem. The problem is that according to Menachem, why is there a dot in Lishadi? According to Dunash, there should be a dot because the word is shodad. Shodad. There's two dalits. So you need the dogesh to mash with the second dalit. But according to Menachem, that says Lishadi, the lamin is part of the shoresh. And Mordechai, how are you going to answer this? Mordechai Mintz, how are you going to answer this kasha? What are you going to do with the dot? Why is there a dot in Lishadi? I don't know the answer. Okay, we'll stop here. Let's take a break.